Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM. Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Be blimp-worthy. Goodyear. More driven.
Friday edition of the Gym Class, getting ready to come your way right here on KGYM. We'll take a look at tonight's high school playoff action. We will take a look at the weekend in college football. Also, Tim Newton, play-by-play voice of the Purdue Boilermakers, will be joining us. And it is the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, all coming up on a Friday edition of the Gym Class, KGYM. So many questions to be answered. We'll get to that story coming up here in just a little bit. Welcome in Friday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes with you. Kyle Mann, our producer. Your local programming block getting underway right here on KGYM. We'll be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way from 4 o'clock until 6:45 tonight. And then we will depart from local programming, get you out to high school playoff football. And a couple of good ones coming up tonight in the quarterfinal round. Myself, John Hagerty, Jeff Moss will be out at Saints Field. It'll be number 1 in 3A, defending state champion Xavier taking on 10th-rated Decorah. And then on the South Gym, 106.3 FM, battle of the number 5 teams. They are tied in the Gazette KGYM poll at number 5, and that would be Iowa City West and Bettendorf. Winners tonight move on to the climate-controlled comfort of the Unidome starting next week. And we will have all the scores after the game on the Eastern Iowa High School Football Scoreboard Show with Jeff Downing. Immediately following the game, going through 11 o'clock tonight, we'll have the semi-final pairings for you as well, although you could probably figure them out at home using the RPI formula. Of the 4 teams remaining in each class, 1 will meet 4 and 2 will meet 3. Geography does not matter coming up in the next round. Good afternoon, Mark. How are you today on a Friday?
Good afternoon. Looking forward to a great night of high school football and a great weekend of college and professional football. Really a good slate this weekend, and we pose that question at KGYMradio.com, our Emil's Hideaway poll question. What game are you most looking forward to following this weekend? 4 choices: Alabama LSU, Notre Dame at Northwestern, the Rams at the Saints. We know what Cajun Troy will vote for.
Hi, Troy.
And the Packers at the Patriots. Again, KGYMradio.com is where you can vote. And thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Those 4 games just edged out Kansas City at Cleveland.
Barely.
Barely.
Chicago at Buffalo.
And Chicago at Buffalo. Just edged out. Yeah, go ahead and vote. By the way, we are presented, as always, by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. A locally owned and operated, great place to stop on by, get your weekend off and running. And we do appreciate all the help from everybody over there at Third Base Brewery. We have for you coming up a Dr. Pepper prize pack, our final one of the week. A 24-pack of regular Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper. And that goes out to one of our lucky listeners coming up later on today. Let's start with the we'll get to the bill coming up in a little bit. But let's start off with the high school football scene coming up tonight. Quarterfinal action, all the games scheduled for 7 o'clock. As I mentioned, we'll be out at Xavier for Xavier and Decorah, rematch of a Week 2 game that Xavier won handily, but this will not be one where Xavier, I'm sure, will win handily. Different 2 months ago. It's going to be a totally different game coming up this evening. No doubt Xavier is obviously going to be the favorite going in here, but we'll see how it all plays out. And like we talked about yesterday, when you get rematches, sometimes strange things happen, but we will see, and we'll have the game for you tonight at 6:45, 1600 AM, 107.5 FM, KGYMradio.com, and the KGYM radio app. Final home game for a quarterback named Schulte, for all 3 quarterbacks named Schulte. Kind of the end of an era at Saints Field tonight. It is the end of an era at Saints Field tonight.
Yeah, it's been quite a story. Dwayne Schulte's boys quarterbacking the Saints for, what, 10 years, 12 years?
Well, you got Reggie.
Somewhere in there.
You got Bryce.
And Quinn.
And you got Quinn.
It's been quite a run. There's no question about it. And I know Dwayne is very proud of those boys, but deflects the attention to the team, as you would expect of a head coach. But Quinn has been brilliant, much like his brothers were. But this is a very well-rounded team. And I don't think DeCore is coming down just for the ride. They were not competitive the first go-around. Therefore, I think it'll be maybe a better game, but the Saints still are favored.
And remember, kind of almost the exact same scenario a few years back when DeCora made the long trip from Northeast Iowa and left with a victory. Not saying it's going to happen tonight or anything like that, but you got to play the games, Herm Edwards. So we'll have that for you tonight. Another rematch, West High and Bettendorf coming up tonight. That's on the South Gym at 6:45. Zach Mackey and Gary Fickle on the call of that one down at Trojan Field in Iowa City. Three-pointer the first time around, but there wasn't a guy named Morgan at quarterback for the West High Trojans that night.
And that was week two.
And it was week two again. Mm-hmm. So he will be at quarterback tonight for West High. And they're a different team.
I think West has a very good shot here. And interesting games in 4A. You told me earlier today you're keeping your eye on Cedar Falls and
Waukee.
Southeast Polk entering as the 16 seed, knocked off the number one seed in week one, and now kind of take another step. That's an interesting story. And you have the Dowling Valley story.
Again.
Another rematch.
Another rematch going through. And most of the people I've talked to said, if I had to put my money on it, I'd almost put my money on Dowling for the rematch. Valley won the first go-around. Dowling entering that game with two losses against the unbeaten Tigers, but we'll see how that all shakes out coming up tonight. Another rematch, Western Dubuque at North Scott, a good one. Williamsburg at PCM in 2A. They met last year in the playoffs. Williamsburg went down 17-0, won it 18-17, went on to the state championship game. We'll see how it plays out. This year, you've got Benton Community taking on West Liberty tonight over in Van Horn. We'll keep you updated on that game. Randy Krejci is going to be over there at Van Horn. Also tonight, 1A, and we'll get to this in a moment because the always thrilling statistics of the evening travels coming up. Pella Christian is at Bellevue. West Branch has to make another long trip. They go down to defending state champion Van Meter tonight. To take on the Fighting Bob Fellers, and that will be at 7 o'clock. Highland is on the road at Hudson tonight. Edco goes to Algona Garrigan coming up tonight as well. Iowa Valley is at home to take on New London. I know you're wondering, Mark, who gets the Rand McNally Award for the week for the longest trip.
I am.
It is a tie this week, according to MapQuest.
Oh, it can't be exactly.
An exact tie. According to MapQuest, which is the official website of the Rand McNally Award. Pella Christian at Bellevue and Edco at Algona Garrigan are both lovely 3-hour, 20-minute bus rides. That would be 6 hours and 40 minutes of traveling on the yellow buggy today for those athletes. So best of luck out there to them. Just edging out, this is the one I thought would win. I thought Mason City Newman at Avoca AHSTW was the hands down winner, but that's a lot of interstate travel, Mark. That's only 3 hours and 14 minutes. But I think mileage wise that one's got the win. I didn't double check that, but I think mileage wise from Mason City over toward Omaha is probably the mileage king tonight.
West Branch Van Meter isn't any short jaunt either, is it?
Oh, that's shorter last week.
Just 2 hours or what?
Just a little over 2 hours.
Okay.
From West Branch. There's a lot of interstate driving from West Branch to Van Meter. So, you know, West Branch to Osage, a little different story up toward north central Iowa, almost to Minnesota.
Better to be traveling than sending it home, though.
better to be traveling than sitting at home. You're absolutely right on that one. So best of luck to all the teams coming up tonight. Scores will be coming your way after the games right here on KGYM. By the way, tip of the hat to our two honorees this week. Our Corridor Spotlight Team of the Week, the Marion Boys Cross Country Team that finished third at the Boys State Cross Country Meet last week. Congratulations to them. And our Athlete of the Week, which is proudly brought to you by the Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa, Maddie Baxter of the Jefferson Volleyball Team. We honor this week unanimous all-conference and a member of the Jayhawks. And they're going to be taking on Lindmar coming up in the first round of the state volleyball tournament next Tuesday at the U.S. Cellular Center downtown. So congratulations to those two honorees. Let's move on to college football. You'd like to weigh in, by the way? You're welcome to do so on the Hurteen & Stocker Jewelers text line at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Hurteen & Stocker Jewelers located on the Penn Mall in downtown Iowa City. We're going to talk to Tim Newton of the Purdue Boilermakers coming up here in just a few minutes. Iowa and Purdue set to go at it. Weather is supposed to be ideal tomorrow at Ross-Ade Stadium in West Lafayette. That's welcome news, I think, for both Iowa and Purdue.
I think so, too. And the real question is the health of each team. Nathan Stanley, by all indications, his thumb is fine. Rondale Moore, the star at Purdue, is it gamesmanship on the part of the Boilermakers? They say he might be a game-time decision. We shall see about that and maybe learn more in our conversation with our Purdue media. So I think it's going to be a whale of a game, and we'll be picking that coming up here on the Emo's Hideaway Pick 6.
Yes, we will. Iowa State heads to Lawrence to take on Kansas. And not many times where Iowa State has been a two-touchdown-plus favorite. And also in the top 25 of the college football playoff poll at this time.
Not many times Kansas has played with a hangover from a win either in the Big 12.
Yeah. So this is this one's got me thinking, throwing the 14.5 in there. And the hook scares me, by the way. I'm going to pull a Mark Dukes here. That hook scares me a whole lot right there. On paper, Iowa State should win this football game. There's no doubt Iowa State should win this football game. But this is not saying that Kansas, I'm not even insinuating that Kansas has turned a corner or anything like that. But they're better. They're better. They got a few athletes now on the sidelines for the Jayhawks.
I would agree. But I think this is still not a very good football team. And Iowa State, with its defense, I think should be able to handle the Jayhawks.
And UNI is in playoff mode as the Panthers will host Illinois State coming up tomorrow at the Dome. That is a 1 o'clock start. Illinois State in the top 20. They have three losses, though. UNI coming in 4-4 just flat out cannot afford another loss this year if they want to get in the playoffs. That's pretty much the way it goes.
No question. It was a disappointing week last week, a 20-point loss at Western Illinois. And I know the Panthers and Mark Farley are eager to right the ship. We've got some comments on the Hurteen & Stocker Jeweler text line in regards to our first 15 minutes of programming. Of course, Cage and Troy regarding the poll question. She's looking forward to the Saints and the LSU game.
I'm looking forward to LSU-Alabama. I think that would be my pick.
I don't know. 27-46, Michigan versus Penn State is one that texter is looking at as well.
2:15 tomorrow right here on KGYM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Alabama-LSU tomorrow night, by the way, on all three.
Troy also wants to know if we think Northwestern can upset Notre Dame.
Yes. But I will say this. If Northwestern beats Notre Dame, does that make it better for the Iowa Hawkeyes
Good
the
question.
Following week?
Good question.
And if Notre Dame handily disposes of Northwestern, does that not bode as well for the Hawkeyes next week when Northwestern comes to town?
In regards to our Rand McNally segment, 85-32, proud Green Devil here. That's Osage, right?
Osage.
Technically, West Branch to Osage is four-lane travel the whole trip minus the last nine-mile stretch.
Over to Osage.
Still a jaunt.
It's a jaunt. Well over 2 hours. Good to hear from folks in Osage, though.
Wes on the text line likes Alabama minus 14 and a half.
Still likes them. Saturday night at Death Valley, though, that is that's a tough assignment. But this Alabama team is just remarkable. Just remarkable. Now, are they going to win by two touchdowns? We don't have to pick that game, by the way. You happy about that?
I think I would go with the Tide.
I would consult Rusty.
We already consulted our Georgia expert.
Yes, we did.
At Bowling Night in America.
On Wednesday night.
Carlos Redmond, a big Georgia fan, had a short conversation with him. Carlos, who am I going to pick in this game? Not knowing at the time we weren't picking the game. And he said, if you're just picking them, take the points. And I said, what if I wanted to put a hundy on the game?
Just saying.
Alabama, Mark, Alabama.
I like that. I like that. We're going to get real quick to our story about the Red Sox as well, but we're going to bring in Eugene from Cedar Rapids to talk a little bit about the Iowa game. Hi, Eugene. How are you doing today?
Good. As much as we have this intrigue over Stanley's thumb, to me, the key guy in the whole game tomorrow is Phil Parker. Not of course, as a player, but as scheme-wise. You know, are we going to sit back and we try to put pressure? If we blitz too much, we're going to get burned. And it's not as much as the pressure we can put out front, but what he can do to cover up with the defensive backs in the back. And, you know, as I love the offense, but to me, this is Phil Parker's masterpiece tomorrow, and he's got to figure out how to put the puzzle together, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too, Eugene. Thanks. Appreciate it.
It's a great point, and Parker has dialed up a few in the past, and no time like tomorrow to dial up another one, and it is a challenge with the quarterback, Rondale Moore, good receivers. This might be the best offense that Iowa plays all year, and it's going to be incumbent upon that defense to play smart assignment football.
Yeah, it is. I would agree, and I think Eugene is absolutely right, because can Iowa generate a pass rush tomorrow against David Blau, put some heat on him? Because if David Blau is allowed to take a look at the field, it could be a long day for the Hawkeyes. So can they do that without using the blitz tomorrow? They'll blitz some, but can they put heat on him?
And you're going to see Imani Hooker blanket Rondale Moore wherever he goes, or somebody like that.
They're going to spy him?
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. We got to get to this before the break. Boston Red Sox, Mark.
Whoa.
Threw a party in L.A. after the World Series win.
Party like it's 2018, baby. TMZ story, TMZ sports story, came out and said the Red Sox convened at a L.A. Spot, Nightingale Plaza, thrown by Made Nightlife. This was last Sunday night.
After the win.
What do you suppose the bill was? Well, you already know.
I already know. I would have never guessed this amount, though.
$300,000. Details of what the Red Sox ordered that night. 48 bottles of Dom Perignon, 43 bottles of Ace of Spades, which we've learned, Scott, is...
Cognac, I believe.
Cognac, okay. 60 bottles of Moet.
Champagne.
5 bottles of Vouvray.
No idea.
12 bottles of Perrier and a bottle of Cristal.
Who had the wings? Mookie!
That's not all. On top of that, the guy's got... bottles of Don Julio, Belvedere Vodka, 11 bottles of Jameson, and 17 bottles of Jack Daniels. Hopefully got 25 or more Ubers. My goodness.
What was the tip, Mark?
The tip was $195,000, Scott, bringing the total bill to $500,000. TMZ was told someone with the team handled the bill.
You only win the World Series once, maybe.
$195,000 tip.
That is amazing.
I don't know how many people divided that. That's a good night.
Okay, who had, yeah, anyway.
Should have checked in with the Red Sox on Monday. Wow. Yeah.
Well, all they had to do is fly away. All right, break. We'll take it and come back, talk to Tim Newton after this.
Once again, DePaco Community Credit Union members are money ahead. This fall, more than 50,000 DePaco members receive shares of more than $2.6 million. How? Through Thank Yous, a DePaco-only perk that thanks members in cash for simply using their credit union services. Unlike banks, DePaco doesn't pay dividends to outside shareholders. Instead, our nonprofit cooperative structure enables us to put money directly into the pockets of our member owners. Since 2016, DePaco members have shared nearly $9 million in Thank Yous. Not a DePaco member? What are you waiting for? Join the local financial cooperative where your membership pays. Just visit your nearest DePaco branch or open an account online at DePaco.com. Save, borrow, invest, insure, trust. DePaco. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all your favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
And accepting the award for his department is, Dave.
This award means so much to me and everyone. From the interns we don't pay to the folks in legal handling my harassment suits. One very special person made this award possible, and that's me. Is that play-out music?
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Back on the gym class for this Friday here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. We've got Before the Boom coming up tomorrow at 12:30, the Hawkeye pregame show getting ready for Iowa, and the Purdue Boilermakers from Ross 8 Stadium in West Lafayette. And we are set now to talk to Tim Newton, play-by-play voice of the Purdue Boilermakers, who was kind enough to join us here in Eastern Iowa. And Tim, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And great to have a game that has so much meaning on it as we get into the first part of November, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's been a change from recent years. I think the worms started to turn here in West Lafayette last year when Jeff Brohm came to town, and we weren't counting the days down to basketball starting in mid-October or late September or start of the season. things have changed a little bit here, and it is nice to be playing some meaningful football games in November.
Is there any question as to Rondale Moore's health?
He is a little bit banged up right now. He didn't practice, I don't believe, Tuesday and Wednesday. Did practice a little bit yesterday, but I think they're trying to save him as much as he can. He's not the world's biggest guy, although he's pretty strong. But I would expect he'll play. Now, whether he'll be at 100% Rondale Moore strength, we'll find out at 3:30 Eastern. Mm-hmm. But I would expect him to play. But yeah, they have held him out from practice for most of the week.
How much fun has it been watching that young man perform this freshman year for him?
Well, we keep wondering where he hides the cape, because there are some moves out there that make him look like Superman. He really, it's rare that a guy comes in with the hype that he did and not only lives up to it but exceeds it, but that's exactly what he's done. He will get the ball in a variety of ways, whether it's on punt returns, kickoff returns. They'll line him up in the backfield. They'll give him the ball on jet sweeps, and he is electrifying every time he touches the football. So he has been the real deal, and I think the biggest question with him probably at 5'9 and 175 is going to be his durability, but certainly he has shown himself to be a pretty elite football player in his freshman season.
Last year it was Sindelar throwing three touchdown passes at Kinnick Stadium in Purdue's victory. Now it's David Blau's team. Had a good year, hasn't he?
Yes, he has, and it's he didn't start as the starting quarterback this year in the Northwestern game. That was Elijah Sindelar, who was coming off the ACL tear late last season. And Elijah threw three interceptions in the first half against the Wildcats, and he was benched David came in, played the second half of that game, and then David started the second game against Eastern Michigan. Sindelar came into that one, and then before week three, Sindelar hurt himself in practice and hasn't played since. So he hasn't played since early September. David has, and I think he's benefited by the fact that the week after the Eastern Michigan lost, that Jeff Brohm decided to open up the playbook a little bit and become more aggressive, and they've thrown the ball downfield far more than they have earlier this year or even last season. And David, for the most part, has played very well. Now, he took a little step back last week against a pretty good Michigan State defense, but he has played his best football, certainly, his senior season.
Maybe you answered my question, Tim, but I was just going to ask you that. Was there a time, some point during the early part of the schedule, Purdue was 0-3 to start things off. Was there just something that just clicked? Was it a change of attitude? What was it that got Purdue on the right track again?
Well, I think if you go back to those first three losses, which were by a total of 8 points, that there was a common denominator in all three of those games, and that was Purdue turned the ball over, and they had a lot of penalties, especially in the first two games. After the loss to Eastern Michigan, which came on a really rainy, lousy day, where Purdue didn't push the ball down the field offensively, didn't really attack defensively, I think Jeff Brohm decided that his team this year cannot play and succeed without being more aggressive on both sides. So starting with the Missouri game the next week where Purdue scored 37, they started flinging the ball all over the field, throwing the ball deep. Defensively, they've started to blitz a lot more, and it's not usually just one guy that comes. It's two or three or more. And his philosophy is, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with guns blazing. And so I think that game against Eastern Michigan was probably the turning point. And even though they lost to Missouri the next week 40-37 on a field goal on the last play of the game, I think that was really kind of the turning point. And then starting with Boston College, they had won every game up until last week's game against Michigan State.
For all the bright spots on this Boilermaker team, Tim, pass defense is a wart, I should say, 127th in the country. What's gone into that?
Well, I think it starts up front. Purdue has not been able to get any pressure at all with its front four, and that's probably the biggest difference between the 2017 team and the 2018 team. They had guys last year like a Jalen Robinson who could make plays up front. Danny Ezechukwu could get pressure on the quarterback, and they didn't have to bring a lot of blitzes. As a result, your corners and your safeties don't have to cover 5 and 6 seconds at a time. Now this year, it's different. They're not getting any push out of the front four. They're not getting any sacks out of the front four. And so when they defend, if they're going to bring pressure, they've got to bring linebackers. They got to bring DBs. And I think the defensive backs, and particularly the cornerbacks, have been playing a little bit too soft. Jeff Brohm talked about that last week after the Michigan State game. He was very upset at how much they gave a backup quarterback at Michigan State the opportunity to throw and get into a rhythm. So I would be very surprised tomorrow if you don't see the Purdue defensive backs playing a lot tighter against the Hawkeye receivers. But I think it's been a combination. I think it's been both a lack of a consistent pass rush from the front four and also quarterbacks who've been a little bit hesitant to play up and really press in man coverage.
Tim Newton joining us, play-by-play voice of the Purdue Boilermakers on the Friday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. And Tim, wanted to ask you, I really think that, in my opinion, this game could be won in the trenches between Purdue's offensive line trying to keep David Blough clean tomorrow against the Iowa pass rush. Do you see that, or do you see something different?
No, I think you've got exactly. I think there are really two keys tomorrow. I think that's one of them, certainly, and that is that Iowa front four is really pretty impressive. And I say front four, it's really probably your front eight. You can get pressure without blitzing. And I know there's concern on the Purdue side about whether they can keep David off the turf tomorrow, and that's going to be a big part. I think the other big part is special teams. Jeff has talked all week long about how impressed he is with all of Iowa's special teams, not just the return game, but the way they cover kicks, the kickers themselves. And, you know, it seems like in November, a lot of games are decided on the special teams as the weather tends to get a little bit colder, although we're supposed to have a pretty nice day tomorrow. It wouldn't surprise me at all whether it's a block kick, a big return, a fumble on some sort of a special teams play. I think that could be a big turning point tomorrow.
You hope it's not a defensive penalty on Purdue. They've had enough of those, I guess, in the first couple games.
But, they ran out of toes to shoot off because they kept shooting themselves in the foot time after time. And not only costly penalties, but big penalties, you know, the personal fouls, the unsportsmanlike conducts that kept drives alive or negated big plays. And it was really across the board. It was really amazing those first two or three weeks how many bad penalties Purdue took.
Yeah, and it started out with Northwestern, a game I thought Purdue should have won. You may agree, Tim, but that was a 31-27 loss. And now look at Northwestern really in the driver's seat in the West. Are you surprised?
A little bit, especially when they lost their running back, because I thought Larkin did a really nice job against Purdue. And when they took him out with the injury, you thought, well, that's going to be a pretty one-dimensional Northwestern team. And I think Thorson's a good quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback. But I think the guy that they've got that's come in at running back has kind of been a revelation for them. And their defense year after year under Pat Fitzgerald seems to get better. So, looking at them that night in late August, it didn't look like a team to me that was going to be a Big Ten West contender. But here they are, and really – in the driver's seat. They control their own fate in the West right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you also mentioned, Tim, that the culture around Purdue football certainly, it's not like it was during the Tiller era, but it's gaining momentum as we speak. And how's everything around the coaching staff right now? Because every time you hear rumblings around the country, one of the first coaches mentioned it comes from Purdue.
Well, you're right, and there are certainly costs that come with being more successful. All of a sudden, people are interested in who you have. Right now, I think Jeff Brohm is happy at Purdue. Certainly, everybody here is keeping an eye on the Louisville situation. I don't think there's any secret that the Brohm family is like a sports royalty in the city of Louisville, going back to his dad, Oscar, many decades ago. And if that job were to open, and I think it would become an interesting scenario, but there are a lot of things at play there, including a lot of money on both sides. So I think right now Jeff Brohm is happy, and he's got a really solid recruiting class put together. If he can get all these guys to the finish line, they've got a chance to have one of the best recruiting classes they've had here at Purdue in a long, long time. And I think 2018 was kind of that year that you worried a little bit about, because even last year, coming off some down years under Darrell Hazel, Jeff thought he had a pretty solid defense, and that turned out to be the case. I mean, the defense really carried them to the bowl game last year. I think this was the year that they were concerned about in terms of keeping the momentum, because they had lost so much defensively. They weren't sure if there was going to be enough offensive firepower to win some shootouts. Now, the defense has come around. You know, basically, they held Ohio State without a touchdown for 55 minutes. They held Illinois to a touchdown on their field. Played fairly well last week, although they gave up probably too many of those short passes and too many yards. But I think as you're looking ahead to 2019-2020, I think Purdue's got a chance to be in contention now year after year for that Big Ten West championship. So certainly the program is headed in the right direction. I think people at Purdue are hoping that Jeff is going to stay here, but I guess the flip side of that is if he's so successful that he goes somewhere else, that means that Purdue's in a pretty good shape and maybe they can get a great replacement. But I think we're a ways away from that yet.
Yeah, well, and I know the facilities, they're starting to take care of them now at Purdue, which has got to help the coach.
Oh, yeah. The new facility they've got is really outstanding. I mean, it's kind of another one of those. You got to keep up with the Joneses, but it's got all the bells and whistles, and the players just rave about what a difference it's made. And you don't have to hide anything anymore. When a kid comes for a recruiting visit, you can take them into the locker room and you can be proud of that and all the facilities. So, and there's just been a general increase in the expenditures around football. I think that they've tried to do things, frankly, on the cheap here for a long time. And I think they finally realized that if you're going to compete in a conference that has Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State, Iowa, Wisconsin, I mean, teams that are successful year after year, you have to make the investment to do that. And I think they've finally decided that that's the way they're going
to
go.
We have to pick tomorrow afternoon's game here in just a little bit, Tim. And as I have thought about it this week, and you could probably say it about a lot of teams, a lot of matchups, but which team is going to show up? The Purdue team that, you know, lost a couple close ones early in the season, clobbered Ohio State. And then you have Iowa, which found ways to lose against Wisconsin and Penn State. How do you see this game tomorrow?
Well, certainly from a Purdue perspective, I'd like to see that Ohio State game team show up tomorrow. That was an unbelievable night. I mean, that was a night that everything you touched turned to gold. I would be very surprised if Purdue does not play very well tomorrow for a couple of reasons. First of all, they did not play well last week against Michigan State. I think that got their attention. Sometimes you can get a little bit fat and happy when you're on a run, and they had won four in a row. And the other thing I think you have to look at is track record. And Jeff Brohm in his four seasons, because he hasn't gone into his fifth November. But in his first 4 years as a head coach, he's 13-2 in November. So his teams tend to play their best football late in the season, like a Northwestern does under Pat Fitzgerald. So, I don't pick games, but I think Purdue's going to be right there, and I'd be very surprised if it's not a really competitive game that's in doubt going into the final minutes.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a heck of a game coming up tomorrow, and thankfully a good weather day as well over in West Lafayette. Tim, appreciate it, and great talking with you, and best of luck to the Boilers.
All right, thanks. We look forward to having the Hawkeye fans in town tomorrow.
All right, thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
3:39 here on the Gym Class, KGYM. As we go to break, going to give you an opportunity to win a Dr. Pepper prize pack right now. Thanks to Steve, everybody down the hill at Dr. Pepper for helping us out this week. 24-pack of regular or diet Dr. Pepper going to go out to caller number 6 at 319-366-1600, 319-366-1600, the phone number. If you've been a winner over the past 30 days, please do not call in. Otherwise, you are eligible. So mention 24-pack of regular diet Dr. Pepper, some Dr. Pepper prizes, and a KGYM pint glass for our winner out there. We'll come back. We'll get the panel together, and we'll pick some games with the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 when we come back.
Here comes my best man speech. Madison, at first, I wasn't sure if you were right for the position. Were you going to punch his ticket to the playoffs or send him home packing?
Ever since he switched to DirecTV, he only talks in college football metaphors.
It's that 4K, that high-quality footage. It changes a man.
Were you a walk-on All-American or a one-trick play?
Quit cable. No one has more college football in 4K than DirecTV. More for your college football thing. That's our thing. Visit DirecTV.com for details. With entertainment package or higher, limited 4K programming available. 4K equipment required. Other conditions apply.
What difference can a mattress really make? When you sleep on a Tempur-Pedic, it's as clear as night and day. You'll fall asleep faster because it conforms to your unique body. You'll stay asleep longer because it keeps you cooler. And you'll wake up feeling better than ever because it's the deepest, most rejuvenating sleep you can get. The Tempur-Pedic difference is night and day. And during our fall savings event, enjoy up to $500 off select adjustable mattress sets for a limited time. Visit Tempur-Pedic.com to find your local retailer today.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Getting knocked down on the football field makes you tough, but getting back up makes you tougher. At Goodyear, we call that determination. A willingness to put in more hours, more reps, and more heart to reach a bar that's sky high. Because the Goodyear blimp doesn't show up for just anybody. So don't be just anybody. Be blimp-worthy. Goodyear. More driven.
At Sport Clips Haircuts, we're on a mission to help our veterans with their education. In 2013, we established the VFW Sport Clips Help a Hero Scholarship Program. With the help of your generous donations, we've raised nearly $5 million and awarded more than 1,000 scholarships across the country. You have changed lives. Help us continue this honorable mission. Learn how you can help the Sport Clips Help a Hero Scholarship Program at sportclips.com.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Join the Salvation Army's Red Kettle Kickoff November 8th at the New Bow City Market. Beginning at 6 p.m., bring your family for carols, cookies, cocoa, and fellowship as the first coin is dropped in the kettle. Plus, create an ornament for the New Bow Christmas tree.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Your savings will soar even higher with Fairfax State Savings Bank. Right now, with special CD rates, your money can skyrocket by up to 3.30% annual percentage yield, or APY, for a term of 61 months. When your savings rise, it means more for your family, your future, and your peace of mind. These special CD rates are available now at Fairfax State Savings Bank. $5,000 minimum to open. Limited time offer. Get details at thebankhere.com. Member FDIC.
Congratulations going out to Donnie in Marion. He gets our final Dr. Pepper prize pack of the week. And again, thanks to Steve Carter, everybody down the hill at Dr. Pepper for helping us out. I believe we got more Dr. Pepper next week. So stay tuned, as they say. And we go from Tim Newton giving us all the info on Purdue to convening the award-winning KGYM Pick'em crew here for the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right behind the Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. A lot of listeners say it's the best part of the week.
Which award did we win? Was it the Burlsworth Award or something like that? The Walk-On Award? Or
something like that. Okay. Something like that. Yes, people are looking into it here, but Todd accepted the award for us.
I just want to know when you guys are going to have a Diet Right prize pack to give away. I wanted to talk to Steve about that on Halloween, but he wasn't in the office.
A little Diet Right. Okay.
I want a Diet Right prize pack. I'm not eligible anyway.
He could set you up, though.
You know, a better commissioner would have had the number one and number three teams in the country playing one another on the pick six.
Thank you for not doing that, Todd.
But what does that say about how good Alabama is? They're a two-touchdown favorite over the number three team in the country.
On the road.
On the road. But we're not picking that one. We'll get to some of the duds later on. I didn't win last week. I don't know what happened. I've been on a heater, and I cooled off. Well, the whole panel cooled off last week is what happened. But Scott, you were our winner.
I was.
You went 4-2, and do you know what your reward is?
You get to pick the hardest game
you
first.
You get to be the first person to have to pick Iowa State and Kansas, 14.5.
I thought long and hard about, I think Iowa State's going to win, but I thought long and hard about taking the Jayhawks, but then I did some more digging and found out this Jayhawk offense, even with Puka, is not terrific out there. So I think Iowa State's going to continue to climb. I'll take the Cyclones, throw the 14.5 points. Mark.
I'm not fooled by the hook at all. I should be, but I'm not.
Hook scared me.
Give me Iowa State.
I'm also not fooled by the hook. I'm also not fooled by a bunch of talk that Kansas is allegedly a little bit better this year. I just think Iowa State's far better than them. Give me Iowa State.
Oh.
I like the hook here. I really do.
You know what your former co-host would do here.
This is which one? I've had a lot of them.
The previous co-host.
This strikes me as a Northwestern goes to Rutgers and escapes type situation. That being said, I think I authored the worst pun in the history of puns tomorrow in the Cedar Rapids Gazette in picking Iowa State to win this game big. So I'll stick to my guns, Iowa State.
I think it's sort of a backdoor cover. I think Iowa State, Kansas keeps it within a touchdown, two touchdowns all game, but then Iowa State pulls away late.
Oh, Dave, hello. Are you going to make this a unanimous choice?
I like Iowa State. They're 10-0 against the spread after a conference win. And I think Purdy is going to be the difference in this game.
There you go.
By the way, no offense to Emil's Hideaway, but if this is the best part of the week on our local programming block, we really need to evaluate the way that we operate here. West Virginia is at Texas this weekend. Texas is a 2.5-point favorite, Mark.
They're always adding new menu items at Emil's Hideaway. And thank you for that out there, Chris and Nate and Jamie. 2.5 indicates to me that Vegas likes West Virginia a little bit, and so do I, West Virginia.
I don't think Texas wins by a lot, but I think they win by more than 2.5. Give me the Longhorns.
Ooh. What was that? Country Roads, Take Me Home, Take Me Home. And that's about the only song about West Virginia I know. There's a whole lot of good country songs about Texas. I'll go with the Longhorns.
Is Texas back, Alex?
No. Okay. No, please. I vowed never to say that again. I'm going to go with the Fighting Dana Holgersons. Give me West Virginia.
Ooh. All right. Dave.
Texas is less than a field goal favorite at home, which means this is a coin flip game. So when in doubt, go with the better defense. That would be West Virginia, 37th to 57th for Texas. Offensively, the Mountaineers are 15th compared to 65th. Give me West Virginia.
What can throw the Big 12 into more chaos and get Iowa State closer to Dallas? A Texas win at home, and West Virginia did not look good on their last road trip to Ames. I will take the burnt orange of Texas.
Kyle gets Lee Sterling's Game of the Week, and Lee will tell you how you can get that Game of the Week on our program coming up at 4:30 today. Northwestern hosting Notre Dame at Ryan Field. Notre Dame is an 8-point favorite on the road. This is the only thing standing between the Irish and the college football playoff.
I usually don't like to be the guy to try to get in the minds of people and think about this psychologically, but like Todd just said, this is, you know, Notre Dame is number 3 in the poll right now. They're not going to have a conference championship game. They have to win, and they have to look good doing it. Give me the Fighting Irish.
Steve Carter's going to get me fired here. Listening to the program. Look, I can tell you, Alex knows this about me. I, at one point in time, when I was a younger, stupider person, I owned a Northwestern sweatshirt because the Wildcats were very good to me when it came to point spreads. I'm going to take Northwestern as the underdog here. Notre Dame wins this game, but Northwestern makes it close.
This is not a conference game. Northwestern is a terrible non-conference team. Notre Dame beats Northwestern. Notre Dame destroys Northwestern.
You just do not accept the purple as a viable college football
team.
Just
not very good.
Dave?
Northwestern is 7-1 the last 2 years against the spread as underdogs. The Cats are 4-0 this year as underdogs. And they're 0-4 as favorites. Notre Dame wins the game, but give me Northwestern to cover.
Somewhere Jim Delaney is smiling because this is a conference game in Jim's mind, isn't it? This is what he wanted the whole time.
I thought you meant because none of these players were conspiring to commit double murder.
Well, you got that, too. The Fighting Zombies will keep it close. Northwestern in getting 8, I will take it.
See, if I mention Snapple, what will Carter respond?
Now, don't get me fired. I'm telling you.
Hi, Steve-O. You taking Northwestern, Scott?
I did.
I love Fitzgerald, but I don't think the teams match up. Give me Notre Dame.
Ohio State is a 20.5-point favorite at home against Nebraska. And I have to pick this game first.
Have to pick Nebraska first.
I always have to pick the oddball game first. I don't know about this one. I really don't. I'm going to take Nebraska here and hope for the best, which in my opinion would be a 20-point Ohio State win.
Great pick, Todd. I think that Ohio State's going to have a lot of trouble with Adrian Martinez and Nebraska's offense. I think Ohio State wins, but Nebraska keeps it fairly close.
All right, Dave.
Ohio State 0-4 against the spread in their last 4 Big Ten games, and they are just 3-7 versus the points the last 10 Big Ten games. Give me Nebraska and all those points.
All right. I had no idea I would be the fourth person picking the Cornhuskers here, but Ohio State's defense is not that good. Nebraska's going to score some points, so I'll take the 20.5 and take the Big Red.
All along, I was going to take Nebraska for much of the same reasons as you guys mentioned. Ohio State is not very good on defense. And I think Nebraska is getting better and better and better. And remember that come Black Friday.
Frost warning.
But I'm going to go Ohio State.
Oh, that was such a plot twist there at the end. I thought you were taking Nebraska. Yeah.
Can we watch some more Big Ten greatest teams films, by the way?
if it were 21, maybe I would consider it a little bit, but getting that extra half there, definitely give me Ohio State.
All right.
Penn State at Michigan. The Wolverines are a 10-point favorite, Alex.
I really didn't think that Penn State looked very good last week, and I think having to play Michigan and that defense, the number one defense in college football, I think Trace McSorley's a little hobbled. I just don't think they're going to be able to score very many points. Give me Michigan big in this game.
Dave.
Michigan is halfway through their revenge tour, having already dispensed of Michigan State and Wisconsin. Penn State will be part three on their way to the showdown with the Buckeyes. Give me Michigan off the bye week and 2 weeks to prepare.
Michigan, 2 weeks, best team in the Big Ten right now. I think Michigan wins this thing big. Mark.
I do as well. I'm not fooled by the point spread. I think Michigan, you guys mentioned the defense, and Dave mentioned that revenge tour, which I think sometimes is overrated, but not in this case. Michigan.
Penn State beat Iowa last week, but I thought did so unimpressively. Meanwhile, Michigan, one of the best teams in the country, one of the best defenses in the country. I'm with Scott. I'm taking Michigan, and I'm not super sure it's even really going to be close.
Oh, Todd.
I can't do this to the good listeners of KGYM. I can't take two games as complete sweeps. Everybody took Iowa State. I don't want to do this. I hate James Franklin. Give me Penn State. I think Michigan's going to win that game big. I'm just for the purposes of diversifying here.
We've all had to do it this year. We've all had to do it.
We'll finish up Iowa on the road at Purdue. The Boilermakers a 3-point favorite. And our tiebreaker this week, an interesting one, Rondale Moore's receiving yards against the Hawkeyes, Dave.
Well, the Hawkeyes are 7-0 on the road against the spread after a Big Ten loss the last seven games. The road teams are 6-2 and 8-0 against the spread the last eight games in this series. So I'm taking the Hawks. And for Rondale, 94.
I like Iowa. I think they're going to put heat on David Blau. And I think the Hawks are going to come away with a much-needed road victory, and I'll take 89.
I'll explain why on Before the Boom coming up at 12:30 on the FM frequencies, but I think the intangibles stack against Iowa in this game, and I've got a 24-20 Purdue victory. Therefore, I'll take Purdue and throw the points.
I've become more.
How many yards, Mark? Sorry, Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
For more receiving.
One.
Clever. I've become more
skeptical. Can't go over, Dave.
I've cooled on this game as the week has gone on, but Iowa can still. It seems very realistic to me that Iowa wins by 1, 2, 3 points in a very ugly game, but they're underdogs. Give me Iowa.
How many yards?
84.
Starting to believe that the spirit of Bob Brooks lives on in Kyle every week on the pick six. I'm going to take Purdue. I'm going to give Iowa the kiss of death here, not because I want to see this happen, but I'm going to overreact. I do this all the time. You pick them to beat Penn State. They lose. Now I'm overreacting, so I'm taking Purdue. Iowa probably wins the game. And you know what? I did not fall off the turnip truck yesterday, too.
I knew it. I knew it.
Way to be a good teammate.
Ooh. Alex.
If he doesn't play, I win.
I will say that I'll go with Iowa.
It's a short out route.
Rondale Moore gets fed, so 135.
135. All right, there you go. The panel has spoken, ladies and gentlemen. We need six callers at 319-366-1600. Hitch your wagon up to one of the prognosticators, and if your man comes through with the best record of the week, you get a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. All right. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next. We wish everybody a happy and safe weekend out there. High school playoff football coming up tonight. We'll be out at Xavier on 1600 and 107.5 FM for Xavier and Decorah. South Gym will have Iowa City West hosting Bettendorf. We'll talk to you on Monday at 3:00.
Just like the Cyclones, the Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to get the job done. The participating Iowa Kubota dealers are proud sponsors of the Cyclones and invite you to stop by.